The Yeshiva Gedolah of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The Torah tells us in Parashas Mishpotim, Shmeis, Chop Dalet Posuk Zayin. Vayikach Sefer HaBris, Vayikra B'Ozne Ha'om. And Moshe, when he received the Torah, he brought the Sefer HaBris, the Sefer Torah, Vayikra B'Ozne Ha'om, and he read it over to the people. And they said to Moshe, whatever is written in the Torah, we will do, nase v'nishmo, and we will understand. The Gemara in Masechet Shabbos Daf Peches Dorash Rab Samoy. Rab Samoy learned. B'shoh shehikdimu Yisrael nase l'nishmo. They did not say nishma v'nase, that we will understand and then we will do, but hikdimu nase l'nishmo. They said first we will do and then we will understand. First we shall do the mitzvahs, and then we will understand the mitzvahs, we will study the mitzvahs. At that time, b'shoh shehikdimu Yisrael nase l'nishmo, when first they said we will do, and then we will understand, bo shishim berbuah shel malachei ha'shoresh l'chol echod ve'echod miYisrael kosher le'shnei ksorim. There came 600,000 angels of Hashem, and each one had two crowns, and each one gave these two crowns to Klal Yisrael, to every person of Israel. Echod kenegen nase ve'echod kenegen nishmo. One because they said nase, and the other because they said nishma, we will do and then we will understand. We see from this Gemara that one of the greatest schuyes, merits, that Klal Yisrael had when they received the Torah is hikdimu nase l'nishma, that instead of first saying what are the reasons of the Torah, what are the reasons of the mitzvahs, and based on our tfuna, on our understanding, we shall do, they first said we shall do. Whatever is written in the Torah, we shall do, regardless if we understand or if we don't understand. And then they said, nishma, we will understand, we will study, we will learn the reasons. And we see that these are two levels, because the angels came with two crowns, not with one crown, but with two crowns. Echod kenege nasev, echod kenege nishma. One crown because they said we will do, and another crown because they said we will understand. And later on, the Gemara tells us that this was a roz, a secret, which the angels utilize. That first they heed the command of the Almighty prior to any understanding of it. In this concept are very, very deep reasons, very deep levels in how one should approach the Torah and the Taryag mitzvahs, the 613 mitzvahs that we have. Let us see if this evening we can perhaps shed some light on this principle. When it comes to approaching the mitzvahs and the fulfilling of the mitzvahs, there have been basically three schools of thought amongst the thinkers of Klal Yisrael, amongst the thinkers of the world, as to what are the motivations of the mitzvahs, what are their reasons, what are their purposes, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give them to Yisrael, why did he command them. The first approach was that the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are rachamim. Midos rachamim, he gave them to Yisrael because he wants his people to be merachim, to show compassion towards the nivroim, towards all of the creations. For example, the mitzvah of tzedakah commanded Yisrael to do tzedakah, to give charity and chesed, because he wants that the creations shall be shown compassion. Therefore he commanded Israel to show compassion towards his creations. Or for example, when it came to the mitzvah of shechita v'lei nechira, that we should shecht an animal and not merely kill it in any manner, because he showed compassion towards his creations. Or the mitzvah of esiv es b'nei, Torah commanded us, by an animal we should not shech the mother and her child on the same day, in the same 24-hour period. Or shiluach hakan, Torah told us that ki yikore kan tzipor baderech, if you're walking along and you happen to come across a nest of birds, and the mother is yeshevis, the mother is sitting together with her children, al tikach aim, you shall not take the mother together with the children. Shaleach tishalach haseim v'abonim tikach loch. First you should send the mother away and then take the children. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed compassion to all of his nivroim, all of his creations. Now, even though there is no doubt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compassionate to all of his creations, Hamechin Mozein Lechol Bir Yosef, he prepares sustenance for all of his creations. Amarachem Al Kol Bir Yosef, and he is merciful to all that he has created. And there is no doubt whatsoever as to the truth of this. Nevertheless, though, it is impossible to say that these are his reasons for giving mitzvahs. Firstly, this is contradicted from all of the chukim, from all of the statutes. The Torah is divided into two sections: mishpatim, mitzvahs that the reason is seemingly apparent. For example, you shall not steal, you shall not kill, you shall give tzedakah, you shall do good to others. And chukim. There are many, many chukim statutes in the Torah which we do not understand their reasons. For example, the mitzvah of shatnas, that you should not wear tzemer u'pishtim, wool and linen together. Or you shall not eat the meat of a chazir, of a pig, or of other impure animals. Or pora aduma, the mitzvah of the red heifer, where it would be slaughtered and burnt into ashes, and its ashes would be mixed with water that comes from a spring, and it would be sprinkled upon someone who came into contact with a dead person, and this would purify him. Or klei zera, that you shall not plant together the seeds of the grains and the seeds of the vine together. There are many, many such chukim, statutes in the Torah. And it's impossible to say that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave these mitzvahs to Israel is in order because he wanted Israel to be compassionate towards the Nivroim, the creations. Secondly, this concept is contradicted, is refuted from the so-called Mishpatim themselves, even from the mitzvahs that we might think that we understand the reason. Shiluach HaKan, the mitzvah of sending away the mother before you take the children, when you find a nest of birds. And this is something that we think we understand the reason. The Mishnah tells us in Masechta Brachos Daf Lamed Daled Omed Beis, excuse me, Lamed Gimel Omed Beis, Ha Emer Al Kan Sipor Yogia Rachamecho Mashtikin Esoi. If someone says on a nest of birds, see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was compassionate towards you because he commanded Israel that they should not be ruthless in taking the mother together with the children, you silence him if you hear someone say this. And the Gemara explains why. The Gemara tells us, Pligibo Trei Amaroi Bemaro, Trei Amaroi, two opinions amongst the rabbis of the Gemara, Rabbi Yosi Bar Abin and Rabbi Yosi Bar Zvedo. Chad Omar Bitnei Shematol Kino Bemaisa Bereshis. One says, because you are creating jealousy amongst the creations. And the other says, because you are taking the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and reducing them to mere compassion. And they are not compassion, but they are decrees. The explanation is that the one who says, because you are creating jealousy between the creations, if the Almighty was interested in showing compassion to his creations, so why did he command this only in regards to the birds? Why didn't he give us the same mitzvah in regards to other creations? If you find an animal or wild game and the mother is together with her young, there is no mitzvah that you have to send away the mother before you take the young. Only by a kan sipor, only by a nest of birds. So you are creating jealousy and dissension between the creations. Therefore you silence him. This is one opinion in the Gemara. The second opinion is because you are reducing the mitzvahs of the Almighty to mere compassion, when his midas axeres are decrees. The explanation in this, according to the Maral Miprag in the Sefer Tferes Yisrael, in Perek Vov in Zayin, because the Almighty is a king, and the obligation and responsibility of a king is to rule his medina, rule his state, and guarantee that there is law and order and justice. And compassion, mercy, is actually a deviation from law and order and from perfect justice. And it is true that we are called upon to be compassionate. Many times we make an appeal for clemency, for mercy. But a king cannot rule his state, tamid, all of the time, with compassion. He must rule with law and with justice. She'asin midesav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu rachamim. You are taking the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which He rules the world with, and you are making them into traits of compassion, ve'enon ela gzeiros, and they are decrees of law and order, not compassion. We do find that the Almighty interjected mercy into the creation, but that was later, and that was secondary. The sages tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tchila bore es ha'elam b'midas ha'mishpot, b'midas ha'din, that He created the world in accordance to the laws and tenets of justice. When He saw that it would be impossible for the world to exist only in strict accordance to law and justice, shita b'midas harachamim, then He brought in also the quality of compassion. But not that He rules the world with compassion. This was a secondary quality, an auxiliary quality. So therefore, we cannot say that the reasons for the mitzvahs given to Yisrael is because He wants us, because He wants compassion to be shown to His creations. This is refuted from too many areas. A similar Gemara we have in this vein is the Gemara in Baba Basra. The Gemara tells us in Daf Yud, Shoal to Nusrufes Harosho, es Rabbi Kiva. To Nusrufes, who was one of the Roman rulers, a wicked man, he asked Rabbi Kiva, Im elakeichem ayev anim hu mibnei ma onu mefamsim. Hu mibnei ma enu mefamsim. Your God told you to take care of the poor. If He wants you to take care of the poor, if He wants the poor to be relieved from their affliction, so why doesn't He do it? This is what Tunis Rufus asked Rabbi Kiva. A good kasha, a good question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the poor to be relieved from the burden of their affliction and poverty, so why doesn't He do it? Why did He tell you to? And Tunis Rufus wanted to tell Rabbi Kiva, so this is a sign then that He doesn't want them to be relieved. So you Jews that are giving stokah, that are giving charity, you're going against the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Evidently, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the poor to be impoverished. Otherwise, He Himself. Why are you being more zealous than the king himself? This is what Tunis Rufus asked Rabbi Kiva. And Rabbi Kiva answered, Kedei shenitzul onu bahen midini shel gehenem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the poor to be relieved from their affliction. So why doesn't He show compassion on them? He gave us the mitzvahs in order that we should have the schus, that we should have the mitzvahs to do so, that we should have the merit, and then we will be saved from the din of Gehenna. So here we see, even though we might not at this point understand the Gemara's answer completely, but we see that the motivation for the mitzvah was not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the poor to be relieved. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the poor to be relieved, or if He wanted the bird to be saved, or if He was worried about the pain of any animal, then He would take care of that. He wouldn't have to command us to do that. Therefore, we must search for another reason behind the motivations and sources of the mitzvahs. There was a second opinion. Which was and is very popular. And does have sources of truth in it. And that is that it is true and granted. The motivation and reasons of mitzvahs are not for their ultimate effect on the recipient, but rather they are to be keveya bonu. They are to ingrain in us, the doers of the mitzvahs, the midas teves, the great qualities and the great traits which we find in the mitzvahs. This means that the Almighty commanded us in the giving of tzedakah not for the purpose of the recipient. If he was worried about the recipient, he would take care of them. But he was concerned with us, that we should ingrain in ourselves the midah, the quality of charity. Therefore he gave the mitzvah to us. And this would be with many, many mitzvahs. The Almighty wanted to teach us to be kind to the creations, to be kind to animals. Not that he was concerned with the animal. That's true, but that was not the purpose of the mitzvah. But the purpose was to seed in us these qualities. Therefore he gave us the mitzvah of how to be kind to animals, of how to deal with them, the mitzvah of shechita, the mitzvah of eisei ves b'nei, that you should not kill both on one day, the mitzvah of shiluach hakan, the sending away of the mother before taking the children. Now this principle that we are obligated to develop in ourselves all of the good qualities that we see in mitzvahs, this principle is true. And it's especially related to one mitzvah in the Torah. That being the halachta bidrochov. We are commanded in one of the mitzvahs of the Taryag of the 613 that we shall walk in the ways of the Almighty. And the Gemara asks in Masechta Shabbos, how can you walk in the ways of the Almighty? We should emulate all of the good qualities that we can understand from the Almighty and that we can understand from his mitzvahs. Mahu chanun afato chanun. Mahu rachum afato rachum. Mahat hu kel erech apayim afato erech apayim. He is good to others, so we should develop goodness in ourselves. He is compassionate, we should be compassionate. He does not become angry, we should not become angry. He is patient, we should be patient. Mahu kodesh, he is sanctified, we should be sanctified. So this principle is true without a doubt, that we are obligated to ingrain in ourselves all of the good qualities that we see in our Kodesh Baruch Hu. But we cannot say that this is the reason of the mitzvahs, because firstly, this would be good then in regards to the mishpati, in regards to the mitzvahs that we can understand the reasons for. The Torah said you should not steal, you should not kill, you should not damage others, you should honor your father and mother. So from these mitzvahs we can learn a lot, and we can develop ourselves from these mitzvahs. But what will you do with the mitzvahs of the chukim, of the statutes? which there are so many in the Torah. And we can learn nothing from them when it comes to trying to emulate them. The mitzvah of Por Adum, of the red heifer, or of Shatnes, or of Klaim. Many, many other such mitzvahs. And even in many of the so-called mishpotim, many of the mitzvahs that we think we might understand the reason, there are also many, many questions that are to be asked against this principle, which we will see later on. So therefore, it's difficult, or rather impossible, to say that this is the reason. These are the reasons why mitzvahs were given to Klal Yisrael. Then there was a third opinion, also a very common opinion, a very popular opinion, and also a very popular opinion in modern times. Mitzvahs were given to Klal Yisrael even though we might not understand the mechanics of the mitzvah, what they do for the person. But they're good for the person at the level of the human being. They're good for him physically. Torah said you shouldn't eat shrotzim v'ramoshim. Shouldn't eat reptiles, insects. You should eat kosher food. You should remove the blood. These mitzvahs are good for the person, and they're good for the Jew at the physical level. They're good for the Jew, the mitzvahs of Hashem, at the emotional level. The mitzvah of Shabbos has wonderful, wonderful emotional benefits. Unifies the home, has social benefits. Unifies the home, family comes together. Breaks the monotony of the week. Gives a person something to look forward to and to regenerate his energies. Modern psychologists and psychiatrists, they are appalled, wondered at the great wisdom of our sages, what they knew about psychology and psychiatry before Freud and other such pioneers. The mitzvahs are good at the mental level. They're good for the character of the person. They'll develop a fine character and a fine personality. And they'll develop a fine nature of the person. A mezak tev, for example, if you eat things that the Torah forbade, if you eat blood, or if you eat certain fats, or you eat an animal without shechita, or if you feed it to a child, this will give him a bad nature. And from here, who knows what can come of the person, what he can grow into. And we hear a lot. We hear much about this today at many, many levels. Be it the physical level, or the emotional, or the psychological, or the mental, or the character, or the personality, or the nature of the person. And in this way, we don't have to understand the mechanics of all the mitzvahs. But what the Torah said to do, this is good. What the Torah said not to do, this is bad for us. On this approach, the Maral writes and elaborates in Perek Zayin and Perek Ches that even though this might be true, that mitzvahs for a Jew are good for him, perhaps at all levels, and what was forbidden to the Jew perhaps can harm him at all levels, even though this might be true, because whatever comes from the Torah must be good. It says explicitly in the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the mitzvahs leheitiv lonu, to do good for us all of the days of our life. Drocheho darchei neyam v'chol nisivoseho shalom. Its ways are ways of peace. Its ways are beautiful. This refers to the positive commandments. And its paths are paths of peace. This refers to the negative commandments. And something which is good and beautiful and peaceful certainly cannot harm a person at any level, and perhaps can bring benefit to the person at all levels. But he writes, Cholilo, Cholilo. Heaven forbid that we should interpret motivations and mitzvahs at these levels. Heaven forbid. Because then we are reducing the Torah to a safer refuah. We are reducing the Torah to a book of medicine, to a book of science, to a book of psychology, even though it might be the greatest book of medicine ever written, or the greatest book of science. But nevertheless, it's still a book of medicine. It becomes a Sefer HaTeva, a book of physical nature, a Sefer HaSkulais. It becomes a book of mazel and charm, that people will approach mitzvahs because the mitzvah will help them at these levels. It will be, and unfortunately we see much of this today, that a mitzvah is good because it has the effect of a tranquilizer. You have problems, the mitzvahs will straighten you out. It is taken as a tranquilizer, or as a drug, or as a booster, or as a charm. It'll bring you good mazel. You want good mazel? Put a mezuzah on your door. You want success in business? Put a mezuzah in your office. You want healthy children? Stop feeding them treifas. And even though perhaps a mitzvah might do this, but cholila v'cholila, he writes, heaven forbid to say that these are the reasons of the mitzvahs. These are the motivations of the mitzvahs, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them and why Israel should do them. Because you are taking the Sefer Torah and you are making from it a Sefer Refuah, a classical book which understands the human being on this world. And what's wrong with that? The Gemara says explicitly we're not allowed to. The Gemara in Masechet Shavuos. And after Tesvov Amud Beis, Beitz, Vomer Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Osur Lisrapeis B'Divrei Teira. A person is not allowed to use Divrei Teira, the words of Teira, to bring a physical cure to a person. If someone is sick, heaven forbid, and someone feels he can cure him by pronouncing the proper sentences of the Torah over him, he's Eivar an Isser, transgresses an Isser. Osser Lisrap Eis B'Divrei Teira. Not allowed to use the Torah as a book of medicine. And the Rambam brings on this in a very strong language. Perek Yud Aleph of Hilchas Avodah Zarah Halacha Yud Beis. Aleiches alamaka bekeri posuk minatero. Someone who has a wound and he utters verses of the Torah over the wound to cure it. Bekein akere alatinek sheleivas ba'meniach sefeteret filan alakod mishpil sheyoshen. Or if there is a child who's sick and he puts tefillin on the child or in his bed, that the tefillin should cure this sickness. Not only that this is a question of menachshim v'chevrim, this means this borders on sorcery or on other types of deviations from the Torah, from the norms. Elashein b'chlal akefrim b'teira. But they are denying the essence of the Torah. Shein eisin divrei teira refuas aguf, because they are making from the Torah, they are reducing the Torah into a medical book. Ve'einon ela refuas hanefesh, while the Torah was given for the soul, not for the body. So firstly, chalila, heaven forbid, to reduce the Torah Hashem and the mitzvahs Hashem and to limit them into the and bring them into the physical world. But even if we would be allowed to do such a thing, let's assume for a minute that we would be allowed to do such a thing. It would not make sense. There are chavilais v'chavilais. There are literally multitudes of contradictions to such a concept. And we'll mention a few here. If what the Torah forbade is bad for the person, it's bad for him psychologically, it's bad for him physically, emotionally, mentally, so then why did the Torah forbade this only to Jews? Why not to Goyim also? Kodesh Baruch Hu took care of Goyim also, the non-Jew. And he also commanded the non-Jew in mitzvahs. Gave him 7 mitzvahs. But all of the other mitzvahs which he gave to Israel, he didn't give to the non-Jew. And the non-Jew also is obligated not to injure himself and not to harm himself. Why did he allow the non-Jew to indulge in all of these things and to harm himself with such things? Secondly, we find, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Sanhedrin, on daf nun ches. Goy sheshavas chayiv nisa. Shabbos, which is so good for the person. If a goy keeps Shabbos, a non-Jew keeps Shabbos, he's guilty of a very severe crime. Can be guilty with his life. Not allowed to keep Shabbos. If Shabbos is something which is so good for the human being at all of these levels, so what's wrong with the non-Jew doing it? Another question. The Torah said that when we kill an animal, it must be done with shechita. This means with a knife. It cannot be done with something which is joined to our body and from the front of the neck. In any other way, it becomes nevela. Nevela, the Torah said, a Jew cannot eat. This means it's terrible for the person. Yet in the Beis Hamikdash, in the temple, when the Kahanim would shecht the birds, they were commanded just the opposite. They weren't allowed to do it with a knife or from the front of the neck, but with their fingernail and from the back of the neck. What constituted nevela outside of the Beis HaMikdash constituted shchuta inside the Beis HaMikdash. If this was known as malika, if this is so terrible for the person, so then how were we commanded to do such a thing in the Beis HaMikdash? Third question. The Gemara brings in Masechta Chulin that if you shecht an animal properly, and you after you shecht it, you find that there's a fetus in the womb of the shechted animal, and the fetus lives. The Gemara tells us that animal does not need shechita. That animal you're allowed to kill with an axe and eat it. You can eat it on Shabbos for Yesud Shabbos. But it's nevela. It's the same nevela that the Torah said that you're not allowed to eat. If that's terrible for a person, if that will completely cause a turmoil and trauma to the sophisticated complex of the human being, so then why are we allowed to eat this from a bed kokua? The Torah also said on such an animal, this is the Gemara brings in Peregid Anosh and Chulin, Dafayin Dalet, that Chalev, there are certain areas of fats, hindquarters and so forth, that a Jew is not allowed to touch. Very severe Avera. But from this Ben Pakua, this fetus, you're allowed to eat it. Another question. Chazir, the swine. We're all aware of what the Torah considers the chazir, the swine. And almost any Jew feels what this can do to the Jewish system. Yet the Gemara tells us in Masechta Chulin, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, Botim Malayim Kol Teiv. V'achal Tu Es Ha'amim Botim Malayim Kol Teiv. That when you go into Eretz Yisrael to conquer Eretz Yisrael, there you are allowed to conquer and you will be given houses which are full of all types of goodness. And it's all for you. When Yeshua took the people in to conquer Eretz Yisrael from the seven nations. And the Gemara says, what does it mean? Botim kol melein kol tuv afilu kos lei dechazirim. Even the meat of the swine that you find in those houses, you may eat and enjoy. But this is contrary to what we're saying. Another question. If anything is forbidden by the Torah and it becomes mixed up with something which is permitted to the point where we don't know where it is, and the majority is permissible food, whether this is lach belach, a liquid composition, or yovish beyovish, or merely dry pieces of food which have become unidentifiable, the halacha is, the law is, you may eat it all. In such a case, bottle b'rayv or aznin bosurub, but the poison is there. That what is forbidden is there. Still the Torah allowed you to eat it. There's another halacha. The Gemara says, you're not allowed also lahachil cotton, also lahachil biyadayim cotton, nevelas lekotton. You're not allowed to feed a child who's under the age of bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah anything which is not kosher. But cotton, eichel nevelas, and bezdin mitzuvin lafrisha. But the Gemara says you're not allowed to feed it to them. But if they eat it on their own, then it says the bezdin is not obligated to stop them. The Gemara says, why the bezdin? So the Gemara says, mina Torah, according to the Torah, the father and mother also are not obligated to stop them. Except the Chachomim gave the parents an obligation of chinuch, that they must educate their children, so in order that when they will be bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah, they will know the mitzvahs and be accustomed to them. But this is an obligation only on the parents. It's not an obligation on the bezdin or on anyone else. Therefore, cotton eichel nevelas, if a child eats anything which is not kosher, others are not obliged to stop them. This is the halacha. And the father and mother are, because of the mitzvah that the sages commanded of chinuch, to educate the children, but not mina Torah. But what damage can this do to the children? Why do we allow it? Would you say this by poison? Would we say that you're not allowed to feed a child poison, but if he takes it on himself, so nobody's obligated to stop him? It's not the halacha. The halacha is that if someone is doing something that can be injurious to himself, everyone is obligated to stop it. But time doesn't allow us to. The Medrash tells us, Medrash also drives on this point. Medrash tells us in Medrash Tanchuma, Parsha Shmini, Os Ches, Bechimaich Veslela Kodesh Borchu Ben Shesheker Esa Behema Veichel Im Necher Veichel Klumato Meilei Klumato Mazikei. To what difference is it to the Almighty if you properly shech the animal or if you improperly kill the animal? Makes no difference to the animal. Elo leinit nu hamitzvus ala letzarev behenes abriyes. Mitzvahs were given only to perfect the people. And then the Medrash goes further and tells us something very strange. And this is in Oz Zayin. Teida lo, a proof to this, because le'osig lovai in the world to come. The sages teach us there'll be a great suda, a great feast. There'll be the leviosim, the creation of the world. Kodesh Baruch Hu created two gigantic monsters in the sea. And they were so great and gigantic and terrible that the Gemara tells us that if they would be porim varovim, if they would multiply, they would destroy the entire world. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to take the female and kill it and salt it away, save it for the next world. And then, amongst that suda also will be great animals, the shor habar, great and ferocious animals. So the Medrash says, at this suda, who will shech these animals? And the Gemara, the Medrash tells us, it will be impossible to shech them. Even the angels won't be able to shech them. They'll be too strong. So what will be? They'll fight against each other. Only they themselves will be capable of killing each other. They will fight against each other and kill each other until they are dead. And then, Bahatzadikim, the righteous, that will be the guests of this great feast, Holchin Venetlin Monais, they will go and take their portions. So the Medrash says, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was interested in the Shechita, because of the Shechita itself, how is he feeding the righteous at the feast of the world to come? With Bosa Nevela? With non-kosher meat? Elamikan, from here we hear that the Almighty is not interested in the Shechita for the Shechita itself. Ela letzaref es habriya, is but to perfect man. The mitzvahs of the Torah are mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They are a link to the Almighty. They are not mitzad Odom, they are not linked to man. Their source, their sheirish, the source is with the Almighty, not with man. To man, to human beings, they are chukim. They are mitzvahs without reason, because they are too far beyond us. To the Almighty, le'nivre dover echon levatola, there is not one minute detail or point of the myriad, of the millions upon millions of details and secrets in the city, in this Torah, which was created without, which were recreated without reason. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a soul, a nefesh elakus. This soul comes from a great and mighty abode. Sages tell us that it is part of him himself. Then he implanted this nefesh in this world, in this physical world, in the human being, in the human body. So we have here a nefesh, a soul, which has its source in the Almighty, but its home in this world. And the Torah tells us in Devarim Chof, Ki Odom Eitz Hasodeh, man is like a tree of the field. This means that there is a very strong analogy between man and a tree. A tree has a seed, and if the seed receives proper nourishment, And also it is guarded from that what might be negative and injurious to it. Then it will grow. It becomes a tree. There becomes branches. It becomes leaves. It becomes a fruit. It comes to its perfection. So is it with the nefesh, with the soul which the Almighty implanted in the human being. If it receives its proper nourishment and it guards itself from that what might be injurious to it, it will grow and it will blossom. There is one difference, though, one distinction between the soul and the tree. The tree is totally in the physical world, and therefore its ultimate perfection can only be in the physical world. But the soul that came from another world, its ultimate perfection is to reach into that other world and to cleave to the Almighty. What would happen if the soul would not perfect itself? Or it would not guard itself from negative disturbances? Similar to the seed in the tree. If you have a tree, or if you have a seed that cannot blossom forth, then it rots. So is it with the nefesh that the Almighty gave to man. If it does not grow and perfect itself, it will become a kukul. Ruination will come to it. Now this is the nefesh. This is the soul that the Almighty implanted in man. In the world that the Almighty created, He did not create one world. It states, Ki Bekor Tzur Elomim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created two worlds. He created one world with the letter He and one world with the letter Yud. One is the physical world, the Olam HaTeva, the natural world that we see. And the other is another dimension, a spiritual world, a world which is separated, a world which is attached to the dimension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We must see these two worlds not as two worlds but as one unit, for He made them as one unit. Then He took Adam HaRishon, the first man, and Noah, and He commanded them in mitzvahs. He gave them seven negative commandments. What was the purpose? Because just like the natural world, the physical world, the scientific world, He gave principles. He created the forces of nature, steadfast principles which cannot be changed, in order to guard the structure of that world. So did He give principles, forces which cannot be changed, to guard the structure of the entire world, the physical and the spiritual world together. And these were the seven negative commandments which He gave to Adam HaRishon and to Noah. Why negative commandments? Because the negative commandments are a shmira. They guard the person from going astray. They guarantee that the person will grow upright, grow in the proper direction. Just like a tree must grow upright. It must grow properly. It cannot be a day tree and give birth to figs or to some type of confused mixture, and must not deviate to either side. So did he give the seven mitzvahs to the first people. And why seven? An interesting reason. Because a person can deviate in six directions. He can go too far upward or too far downward, too far to the right or too far to the left. He can go too far frontward or too far backward. So in order to be shamer, the person to guard him, he gave him these six mitzvahs. And what was the seventh? If you take a nekuda, a dot, which can deviate in any six directions, also it can become totally annihilated in itself without deviation. This was the seventh shmira. Seven forces to structure the nefesh elakim, the soul of God that was in man, so it shall grow properly and not deviate. Then to Klal Yisrael, he gave a greater nefesh. When he saw Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, the forefathers, he told them that I have chosen you and your seed from all of the other nations to be the Am Skulo, the Mamleches Kahanim, the nation which is close to me, the nation that will serve me at another dimension, a nation which shall be above all of the other nations. And he gave to them a greater nefesh, a greater soul. And this soul had a greater yichud, a greater attachment to the Almighty, could climb to greater heights and bear greater fruits, to the point where it could be dova, cleave to the Almighty Himself. And because of this soul which He gave them, they needed additional nourishment, additional shmira, guardianship. And therefore to Yisrael he gave Taryag mitzvahs, 613 mitzvahs. The Gemara tells us at the end of Masechta Makos, Ramach mitzvahs essays, 248 positive commandments, keneged evori ha'odom, because the human being has 248 different parts of the body. Bishasa mitzvahs leisa, says 365 negative commandments, keneged mahalchei hashemesh, the orbit of the sun, which goes for 365 days. He gave man mitzvahs, keneged ha'odom ve'elomai, which relate to man and his world. The positive commandments, these are the nourishments for this nefesh, for this soul, which brings out its fruits, which will bring it to perfection. And this encompasses man in his entirety. And therefore, just as man in his entirety has 248 different parts of the human body, so did he give him mitzvahs that will encompass this entire body and this entire soul. And the negative commandments, this was to guard the structure, to guard the Seder, that he should not deviate from the line of perfection, the line of uprightness. And therefore they are related to the days of the sun. Because man lives in this world. The home of that soul is in this world. And this world is tachas ha-shemesh, is beneath the sun. And it is the sun which guards the structure of the natural world. Therefore, he gave mitzvahs to man which relates to him in his world, which will guard the soul. This is the interpretation of the nefesh, of the soul of man, of the soul of Israel, of the mitzvahs that he gave to the nations, and of the mitzvahs that he gave to Israel. Accordingly, we cannot understand all of the reasons and all of the detail of the mitzvahs. The Maral writes, what do we understand of the physical universe? We can understand a very small percentage of even the physical universe. If we take the greatest scientists and medical people or philosophers of all of the generations, how much have they fathomed the physical universe? From here then we can gain an insight as to how much we can understand from the spiritual universe. So if a mitzvah that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and it's aligned and geared for the spirit of man, stands to reason that we cannot ask questions, but why is this forbidden and this is permitted? Or why do we find that this is forbidden now but at a later point permitted, or vice versa? If even in the physical universe, which is so much closer to us, only a drop of the ocean do we understand. And therefore, the mitzvahs are perhaps chukim, statutes without reasons to us. But the mitzvahs do not begin with us. They begin with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to him, le'nivra dover echad levatolo. Not one thing was created in vain. It is therefore, when a person approaches a mitzvah, he must not approach it because of tfunasei, because of his understanding of the mitzvah. He must approach it from the tzimui, from the command of the Almighty. Someone who approaches a mitzvah from his understanding is reducing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs into physical mitzvahs or psychological mitzvahs or emotional mitzvahs, bringing them into this world. And this is why the Gemara says also Lisrata is bedivrei Torah. You're not allowed to use Torah for a physical cure. And the Rambam says she'asin divrei Torah lirafuas haguf. He makes from Torah cure for the body. Baharehu refuas hanefesh. And it is much more than that. It is the cure for the soul. And the soul is much beyond us. If a person does a mitzvah because he says this mitzvah will be good for me, it will be good for me emotionally, it will be good for me psychologically, it will be good for my business, it will be a schooler, then he's approaching the mitzvah from his understanding. He has just reduced it. And he has embarrassed it. He has brought it from the heights of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the physical world of man. And the Chazal point this out to us in three places very vividly. One is the Teiris Kahanim in Parshas Kedeshim. Leyemar Odom I Efshir Bos Bibisar Chazir I Efshi Bidove Pleini. A person should never say that I don't want to eat chazir, or I don't want to eat reptiles or trefa fish because I don't want to eat them, because they are terrible for the person. A person should never say that. This is what the Teiris Kahanim says. This is the Divrei Tanoim, Divrei Elokim Chayim. Ela Efshi, he should say, I want to eat them. They can be good for the person. Umay aseh, but what can I do? She'avi she'shabai she'bashamayim gozer alai. But what can I do? The Almighty has decreed that I should not eat them. Someone approaches treifus and avelus and chazir and crabs and whatnot, and he says, oh, this is not good for the Jew. He has reduced the mitzvah to his level. What do you mean this is not good for the Jew? Why is it not good for the Jew? It's not nutritious. It's poison. It's all under governmental control. It's healthy foods. Because it'll affect you psychologically, it'll affect you emotionally. So you understand why it's not good. At your level, at your mentality, you understand why it's not good. The mitzvah is your mitzvah. The mitzvah is coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You haven't begun to understand the most simplest level of the mitzvah. So how can you say you don't want the mitzvah? You don't want this. Eleyemar Efshi. Why shouldn't I want it? Scientists have found no difference between kosher food and non-kosher food. So you should want it. Aval ma'aser. There's a much greater reason why I can't eat it. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was gezer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his wisdom, not in our wisdom, in his wisdom decreed that we should have it. Because it is not good for the soul which he has given us. And this relates to the chukim, to those that do not have apparent reasons. Those that the Torah tells us the reasons, for example, that you should give charity because you should be good, or you shouldn't damage other people, you shouldn't steal, that's a different story. We understand why, we see why the Torah commanded it. But on these, do not reduce them to your level. And then there's another chazal, which is even stronger. And that is brought in Bamidbar Rabbah Perek Yutes. Shol goy echod es Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. A goy, a heathen, came to Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, to the great Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai was the leader of Klal Yisrael during the destruction of the temple, second Beis Hamikdash. Ilu uvdi di osen avdei niroim kemin kshofim. He saw them prepare the por aduma. They took a red heifer, they shechted it, they burnt it, they took the ashes, mixed it with spring water, then they sprinkled it on anyone who came into contact with a dead body. And he said, what you're doing looks like shofim. He says, it looks like witchcraft, like sorcery. He says, you're taking the potter and you're burning it and you're grinding it and you're taking the dust and you're mixing it with water and you throw it onto the person who touched it, a dead person, and then you tell him, Tiharto, you're pure. So Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai answered the heathen and he said, Nichnas baruach hazosis merecho. Did you ever have a situation amongst your people where an evil spirit entered into someone? Let's say all of a sudden someone started to go a little meshuggah or something. What do you do? He said, well, we bring certain herbs. We have by tradition what's good for it. So we brought certain herbs and we light a fire under it and we create a smoke and then we sprinkle water over it. And this chases away the sickness of the evil spirit. So he said, Yishmu oznecho ma'ashata emetzi mipicho. He says, let your ears listen to what your mouth is saying. This is what Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai answered the heathen. After he left, his Talmidim came to him. And they said, Omru le Talmidim lezedo chisa bekono lono ma'ata emer. To the goy, to the non-Jew, you can get rid of him with straw. You can tell him a baba maisa. But what will you tell us? This is what the disciples asked Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. He asked you, what is this por aduma that you're doing? All right, so you gave him a story. So they said, that's good to get rid of the heathen. But what will you answer us? Om alehem, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai said to his disciples, Chayechem, by your lives. Lehameis metame velehamai metahar. By your lives, the dead person does not cause impurity, and the water does not cause purity. Elo oma akorish borchuhu chuka chachakti gzeira gozati. Akorish borchu said that this is my statute. Iator ashai lavor gzeirosi. You have no permission to transgress my decree. Deceive, as it states, Zeis Chukas HaTorah. The Maral explains. Because the heathen, he felt that the mitzvahs are limited to our world. So it must affect something in our world. So therefore he felt that the dead body causes some injury at some level in this world, be it physical or emotional or psychological or mental or social or whatever it might be. And now the Torah said, take this por aduma and burn it and make a fire and water and you'll chase it away. So he says, it's kemin kshofim. He says, well, the Torah is supposed to be different, you Jews. It looks like witchcraft to me. So
Rabbi Yechman Zakeh answered him at his level. He says, well, you do the same, don't you?
That's how a heathen thinks. But he told his Talmidim, the truth is, the mitzvah is not from this world. The mitzvah reaches this world, but it's not from this world. It's from thousands and thousands of levels beyond this world. And the mitzvah is not for the limited man of this world. The mitzvah is for Kol HaOdom. The man reaches the other levels. The dead has no effect in this world. And the Pora Aduma, the heifer, has no effect in this world. Chayechem, by your life, saying, Ames Metamim, the dead doesn't cause tuma. The Ein Hamayim Metarim, and the water doesn't cause purity. Gzeira Me'akodesh Baruch Hu, it's a decree from HaKodesh Baruch Hu at his level. And it affects the Nefesh of Yisrael, which also stands at that level. Not that it should be reduced to our world. And then a third source. The Gemara brings in Masechta Yuma Daf Lamed Tes, Vinit Meisam Bom, Vinit Meisim Bom. You shall not eat Shrotzim Veramoshi. You shall not eat creeping things. Insects or reptiles or lizards and so forth. So the Gemara says, Aveiro, do not pronounce this word as vinit meisom bom, ela vinim tamtem bom behem. Mikan sha aveiro metamtem libi shal odom. This word does not mean it will make you impure, but this word means metamtem, it will block. It will close. It will close your hearts. From here we hear, Aveira metamtem libishul odom. An Aveira will close the hearts of a person. So the Maral says, the Gemara doesn't say the shrotzim, doesn't say that these reptiles are going to close your hearts. It says the Aveira, the transgression, will close your hearts. The shrotzim themselves, if they are unrelated to the mitzvah of Hashem, then they will do nothing to you. Only because they are related to the mitzvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which comes from His source, that is what will close your heart. Therefore it states, not the shrotzim, not the reptile, but the aveira, the transgression of His mitzvah. He created in His wisdom the order of the world. And in His wisdom He decreed what is within that structure, what is a norm, what is a deviation, in accordance to the various heights of the world. Where He decreed and what He decreed, that will cause, if you transgress that, that will cause a closing of your hearts. But the article itself, not related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is meaningless. And therefore, that's what the Gemara, that's what the Medrash says that we quoted before. My ichbas lon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it makes no difference if it's shchito or if it's nechiro. It's only in its relationship to the entire world, to the spiritual world, to the order that He has decreed. And therefore, in the world to come, in the world to come, when there'll be a great Suda, a great feast for the righteous, and in the world to come, the sages tell us, there'll be no further perfection of the soul of man as it is in this world. That's only an opportunity in this world. In the world to come, there is no further perfection as we see it. Then no longer will it be necessary for the mitzvahs which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave for this world. That's why in this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said we must eat shchuta, what is shechted. In the next world, it won't be necessary. The principle that we derive from all of this is there are two dimensions. There's a dimension of a reife hamatzave el achila, of a doctor who is instructing a sick person, and a melech hamatzave es avdoi, and a king who is instructing his servant. A doctor or a scientist who instructs a patient, he has to be able to prove to that patient in the laboratory the effect of the medicine he's giving to him and the ill effects of what he's telling him not to do or not to eat. And if this cannot be proven by the scientist or by the mathematician or by the other chachmei ateva, by the wise of the physical world, then it cannot be accepted. And this is what is expected. Therefore, we approach the instructions which are given to us by a scientist or by a medical person in accordance to the understanding of the instructions. Now we'll take another dimension. A king commands his servant. Does the servant tell the king, why are you telling me to do this? The king is mitzvah, commands. The servant listens to the tzivui. Does the servant expect the king to be able to prove to him that what he told him to do is good for him and what he told him not to do is bad for him? This is the king. The king is mitzvah. This means that when we approach instructions from a man of science or medicine, then this is related to the tfuna, to the mentality and understanding of this world, human mentality. When we approach the instructions of the king, this is not related to our human mentality whatsoever. We listen to the king because he is the king and we are the servant and he has commanded. This is the source of mitzvahs. We must not approach mitzvahs from our mentality because they are good for us. They will bring us hatzlocha. They will do this for us or something else. But we must approach it from the tzivui hamelech, from the command of the king. The king has commanded. This is why we do mitzvahs. Regardless of our understanding. And now there's no kashrus. If a medical person would give you medicine, and it would be contradictory to other medicine, you would demand a reason. If the king commands and is contradictory to the orders which he gave you yesterday, what does that have to do with it? He is the king and I am the servant. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, eat shchuta today, you must eat only what is shechted, and tomorrow he tells you in the Beis HaMikdash that you must do it just the opposite, it's his mitzvahs. We're not doing it because we understand it.
We're doing it because He has commanded it. He has commanded it with His wisdom, not with our wisdom. If He tells you that you're not allowed to eat this, not allowed to eat swine, but when they came into Eretz Yisrael, He said, you can eat the swine. If we approach this as a patient to a doctor, there would be questions. But a servant to a king, this is the king's mitzvah. Who asar v'hu iter? He forbade it, and now He permitted it. And the sheresh, the source, is in His wisdom. Here we understand now what Klal Yisrael said, what they told Mesh Rabbeinu. Vayikach Sefer Abris. Mesh read to them the Torah. Vayikro bi'oznei ha'om. And all of the nation heard. Vayemru kol asher dibar Hashem na'aseh v'nishma. Whatever Hashem says, we shall do and we shall understand. Higdima na'aseh l'nishma. They said two things. We shall do, but they didn't say we shall just do and never understand. We shall do, and we shall study, we shall understand. That's one thing they said. A second thing, they didn't say we shall understand and we shall do, but they said we shall do and we shall understand. Higdima na'aseh l'nishma. And 600,000 angels came down with two crowns. The enrichment of a mitzvah, there is no doubt, is in accordance to the wisdom that the man possesses. Ein bur yerecheid v'le'am oretz chosid. The ignorant cannot be righteous. The empty cannot fear Hashem. HaTalmud mevi lidei ma'aseh. In accordance to one's Torah, this will be his deeds. Therefore, they didn't say we shall do alone, we shall do and we shall understand, we shall study. We must study all of the mitzvahs. We must delve into the endless secrets of the Torah. And this will enrich the doing of the mitzvahs. But the doing of the mitzvahs must not be dependent on our understanding of the mitzvahs. Or on our reasons that we give the mitzvahs, because if they are, then ein ha'aseh ela k'sefer refuos. You're making the Torah into, you're reducing it to your level, to human mentality. Baharehu refuos ha'nefesh, and it is the sefer of the soul, which is beyond our mentality. Therefore, the first approach to the doing of mitzvahs, the motivation of doing mitzvahs, must not be looked at as a doctor instructing a patient, which the patient has a right to know what are the reasons of the instructions, but as a melech, a king, who is commanding his servants. The reason we do mitzvahs is because kach nitztava HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded. If the mitzvah is done for any other purpose, then it has become drastically, drastically reduced. If a person doesn't eat chafes because he feels that it's not good for him, he has reduced the mitzvah to his world. If he doesn't eat treifas because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said not to eat treifas, now he has linked the mitzvah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If he doesn't eat treifas because it's not good for him, he's going to have a lot of questions. Because there's many places where the Torah said you can. If he doesn't eat treifas because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded this, he has no questions. Because in the other places HaKadosh Baruch Hu said you could. If a person puts on a mezuzah in his house because he wants to bring good luck into his house, it's not a mitzvah. It's not what HaKadosh Baruch commanded. What would happen if a person took a mezuzah then and wore it around his neck? Should bring good luck. What would happen if a person put a mezuzah on a door that's not obligated a mezuzah? He's not doing a mitzvah whatsoever. He must put the mezuzah on the door because kach nitztava HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded it. He must study everything possible about mezuzah. But the reason is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded it, it sources in another world. Not in this world, not in our small world. It is for this reason that the sages commanded us that before all mitzvahs we must make a brocha. Why? For this reason. Because they said we should do mitzvahs not for any of our reasons, but because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded. Therefore, before a mitzvah, we say, Asher kichonu b'mitzvaysa v'tzivonu, that you have sanctified us and commanded us in this mitzvah. That's why we are doing the mitzvah. That's not the command of the Almighty. And it's interesting, the Gemara brings that this is the distinction between a Jew and a non-Jew. The Gemara says, if a person gives stokah, and he says, I'm giving stokah because he has a sick son, and he wants a refuah shleima, he wants his son to be cured. This is why he's giving stokah. So the Gemara says, Areitza tzadik gomer. This is a tzadik, he's a righteous person. But the Gemara says, on one condition, that if he'll give the stokah, and heaven forbid the son is not cured, he does not regret the mitzvah. And Shlema HaMelech was mispalot HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said that when the goyim come, the nations come, and they ask you for something, give it to them. To Israel you don't have to right away, but to the nations you do. Why? Because when the nations do a mitzvah for a condition, if the condition is not fulfilled, they regret the mitzvah. When a Jew does a mitzvah, even though he makes conditions, if the conditions are not fulfilled, but I did a mitzvah. And that's the difference. If you think that the tztoka is going to cure the son, no, you gave tztoka for nothing. If you think that the mezuzah is going to make the business better, if the business is not better, take the mezuzah off. Didn't do its job. And this is what Shlema HaMelech said by the goyim. Therefore, he was mispalot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If they ask you for something, give it to them. Otherwise, they're bait. Otherwise, they'll kick and they'll go away from you. But a Jew understands that when he gives stokah because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to give stokah. Except he's been mispalel, he prays to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that in the schus of this mitzvah, help me with my problem. No, if the tefillah is not answered, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is obligated to answer all our tefillahs the way we want. But the mitzvah is a mitzvah. A Jew puts up a mezuzah, he's not putting up for the business, he's putting up the mezuzah because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, put a mezuzah on your door. And that's the brocha we make, Asher Kichona. We don't make a brocha on mezuzah, that it's a mitzvah to put a mezuzah in order to bring mazel into the house. It's not the nusach HaBrocha. The nusach HaBrocha is Asher Kichona b'mitzvaysa v'tzivonu likvei mezuzah. Blessed is you who has sanctified and commanded us to put up the mezuzah. This is why the sages said we should make the brocha, that we shouldn't get other things in our mind while we're doing it. So you succeeded under all accounts. Whatever happens afterwards, you've succeeded. You've fulfilled the mitzvah. That's why a Jew, he hopes, he can say a tefillah, and he hopes that in this course he'll be helped. But the mitzvah, he has succeeded. This is why we have found by the Gaonim HaTorah, those who were steeped in Torah, how careful they were never to add one detail to the Torah or to take away from the Torah. Like it states in the Torah, you're not allowed to add, you're not allowed to take away.
unless the Torah has given you permission. Like the Torah said, gives charity. You want to give more, it's a greater mitzvah. And the Gemara says, for example, a person will say that a four tzitzis are a mitzvah. So how much more so are five tzitzis? If one mezuzah on one side of the door is the mitzvah, so two mezuzahs, how much more so? Not only you won't be mekayim the mitzvah, but this is an avera. This is a transgression. The Rambam even brings that if someone, if the chachomim come along, where it states, he gives an example, that there were opinions in the Gemara that held that you're allowed to eat the flesh of a bird together, cook it together with milk. Opinions in the Gemara that this refers only to an animal, not to a bird. But the Chachomim also achoka. But the wise said, the Chachomim said we shouldn't, in order to safeguard the laws of the Torah. So the Rambam brings that if the Chachomim come along and they say that you're not allowed to eat the flesh of a bird together with milk, because this is what the Torah has said, this is a serious offense. They are changing the Torah. But what they must say is that the Torah permitted it, but we have forbade it because we have been instructed to make safeguards around the laws of the Torah. This means that the reasons for the mitzvahs and the motivations for doing mitzvahs are not for what good they do for us at the physical world level, be it at a physical or a social or a psychological or a mental or emotional or personality wise or what Basel will bring us or what luck they'll bring us, or what success they'll bring us. That's not the hiseiris. That's not the approach for the fulfillment of mitzvahs. It could be true that mitzvahs will bring you all this. Could be very true. The mitzvah comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it comes from his world, it can go through all of the worlds. But that's not why he commanded the mitzvahs. And you are reducing mitzvahs to a book of nature, a book of natural law. But the reasons are, is because he gave to Klal Yisrael a nefesh elokai, a soul that comes from the Almighty. And to this soul, for the perfection of this soul, he gave Taryag Mitzvahs. Leinitno Torah ela letzaref es habrius. It was given to perfect one soul. And just as the soul comes from the Almighty, so do the mitzvahs, so do the Torah. And they're all within the wisdom of his great supremacy, his great wisdom. Therefore, we must fulfill mitzvahs because the king has commanded us to do. And they come from far beyond us. Naser, we will do because you have commanded. Vinishma, and then we will try to fathom whatever we can in the mitzvahs. We should all be zecher to a renewal of the Matan Torah that was given on the sixth day of Sivan on Chag Shavuos, and see the uplifting of the crown of Torah and the crown of mitzvahs in Israel, and have a Chag Sameach b'Meirav Yemeinu.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedolah of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.